Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hi, Jess. Hi, everyone. It's Fat Mascara. I'm Jen.
I'm Jess. What's going on?
I mean, we're just in a good mood this Thursday because the weather's cooling off.
Oh, thank God. Oh, my God.
Sweater weather.
You know what I could do with?
What?
I could just put on one of my old J. Crew sweaters right now.
Do you remember the roll neck? Too young for the roll neck?
I never had. You know what? The thing is, there wasn't a J. Crew in my town or even like in my county, but I had an affluent friend who had a roll neck. Her sisters went to prep school and she gave me some of her J. Crew hand-me-down sweaters. And that was my first brush with J. Crew. And then when I moved to the city, I bought my own J. Crew clothes.
Ooh la la.
Yeah.
I remember I had a suit that I did a bunch of interviews in from J. Crew.
Yeah.
And then in the like late 90s, this was pre-Jen Alliance, I think, or before she was in charge, I remember one Hanukkah, like four nights worth of my present. Like it was one present. Because they were like pricey for
They were, yeah.
I think it was something like $58 or whatever it was. It was like pricey at the time.
Sure.
And it was just a crew neck sweater with a little roll around the neck. And it was like the coolest thing. You need one of those and you needed a champion sweatshirt, you know?
If you Google like the, I think when J. Crew, when they hit some bumps, certainly this year, there were like a lot of websites and like fashion blogs that were fashion articles talking about that sweater. So if you don't know what we're talking about, Google the J. Crew roll neck sweater.
It's not what made J. Crew like nationally famous the way it did when Michelle Obama wore J. Crew clothes.
Yeah.
And if you're all wondering why we're talking about J.
Yeah,
Crew.
I was like, we should talk about why we're like going ham over J. Crew right now.
We didn't turn into a fashion podcast, but we do have a great guest who has a tie to J. Crew, but is doing new things. Jess, why don't you tell us about the guest?
Okay, we have the incredible, iconic, and I'm not just throwing that word around right now, she is iconic, Jenna Lyons on the show. Now, she is the co-creator of the new beauty brand Love Scene that is all about lashes. Now, you might be thinking, lashes? Wait, Jenna Crew, Jenna Crew. Jenna Crew. I'm just going to call her Jenna Crew. I hope you're giggling. Jenna J. Crew Lyons has a brand that's all about lashes. And stay tuned because it's a really, really cool connection.
Jenna Lashes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. She is also the star of Stylish with Jenna Lyons, which is on HBO Max in November. But she really was synonymous with J. Crew for years and years and years, over two decades. And she ended her time there as president and creative director. She was really synonymous with the J. Crew look that many of you who listen to this show really think of. I'm thinking like, you know, a cool little like, you know, white t-shirt with a sequined skirt, like a great denim shirt with the perfect pair of jeans in 2013.
And an orangey red lip and like a wispy bun, just perfectly like whatever, you know?
How could I forget about the beauty look? Exactly, Jen. She really created like the J. Crew beauty look. And in 2013, the New York Times called her the woman that dresses America. I mean, what a compliment. So we are thrilled and honored to have her on the show. Welcome, Jenna. Jenna.
Jenna.
You are what Wikipedia calls a business personality. And of course, a fashion designer. How would you describe your career and how did you get into this crazy biz?
I mean, the how-to was sort of easy. I went to design school. I wanted to make clothes. That was really a very clear trajectory for me. What happened after that, I have to say, was not what I expected by any stretch of the imagination. And really kind of still have to pinch myself that I ended up where I ended up. It was pretty incredible. It didn't feel like fashion. By the time I got to my, you know, sort of end job, I was really overseeing three brands. I was, you know, doing much more than just designing clothes. It was overseeing the marketing and the stores and the look and feel of the catalog and for multiple brands. It was really a lot of like process. And it was like, I felt like I was like a really high paid crossing guard.
What?
Just meaning like I was there.
Do you want us to change your Wikipedia?
Yeah, that would be great. I have no idea how to change it, but yes.
Fashion icon/highly paid.
Crossing. What I mean by that is like, I was there to sort of protect everything and try to keep it as safe as possible, meaning protect the creative all the way through to the end, make sure it got to the other side, give said directions, don't go this way, can you hold a second? No, can you come this way? Oh, let's do more of that. Oh, wait, you stop. It was a little bit of really kind of trying to maneuver at a very sort of high level. And it was very different than where I started, which was designing clothes.
That sounds very stressful and very far removed, like you said, from the creative process.
It was both of those things. I think it was a creative in a very different way, but it was a level of creative that required such quick fire answers. And what I am doing now is amazing because I just came from a meeting where I'm literally painfully step-by-step, not painfully, pleasurably step-by-step selecting images, recropping images, going in and saying, is that makeup look good? Oh, looking at, and like, it's such an incredible process to be that close to something again. I lost a lot of that. I was very far away from touching things.
We should probably back up then. I mean, I'm assuming you're talking about J. Crew, right?
I am. Okay. And I think just it's important to mention just for context that J. Crew was J. Crew Group. So it was J. Crew Factory, Madewell, and J. Crew.
Got it. Okay. And so when you ended there, that was the crossing guard job that you're just talking
yes,
about.
Yes, okay, correct.
Got it. Shall we indulge in a little J. Crew just for a second, Jess?
Yeah,
sure.
I love J. Crew. I love it from, you know, a long time ago. I know you're not there anymore. I am wearing a J. Crew top right now. Actually, Jen and I was talking about our denim shirts. Mm-hmm. Mine is J. Crew right now. When you were at the brand, it became known for the J. Crew look, okay? How would you describe that look and that style? And how did beauty, like in the beauty way, how do you think beauty figured into that? And again, we're talking about, for any J. Crew PR person who's listening now, we're talking about the Jenna era, okay? The Jenna
ended
era.
In 2017, correct?
3 years ago, yeah.
Okay.
20, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I would describe it as, I think, like a sort of fresh but a fresh, polished, unpolished beauty. And I think what I mean by that is we always wanted something to be a little off. So, you know, if there was a red lip, maybe the hair had a little tuft in it, or there was something always a touch undone. There was never sort of, it would never be what you would think of as a red carpet look where you see people like completely polish the nines with not a hair out of place. We were always looking for something to be a little out of place and to allow people to experiment. You know, we had several policy of like, if there was a bright red lip, then there was no eye. If there was a little bit of an eye, then there was no lip. And really we sort of set structures around the way that we approach beauty to kind of have a framework, you know, just a very clear perspective. What's interesting is that now I loved all of that, but now I get to do something else.
Wait, I have a question. Did you work with, I was just thinking about this as you were talking about like the look, like, you know, a little undone this, a little undone that. Did you work with a specific makeup artist? By the way, I have Invisalign in my mouth and it's like brand new to me. So I realize I have a lisp.
So. I have so many, all of my teeth are fake and I'm like so, I feel for you. Like I get it.
Oh God, it hurts. It hurts so much. We'll talk about it in a second. It's supposed to hurt the first couple of days, right? Jen had it.
I had it. Yeah.
I mean, everything hurts as far as I'm concerned.
Dentures,
you just say the word teeth and I'm like,
ooh. I know. Okay. Back to you. So did you work with a specific talent, like a specific makeup artist or a hairstylist with all those years?
Yeah. I mean, I think that I would say like Troy Olivier was our primary makeup artist, and he really set the tone and really, you know, was responsible, I think, for the execution and how the look of, you know, the makeup and the feel of the beauty really showed up on camera. He's very in tune with, I think, what I love about him is he was incredible at taking someone and just amplifying what their beauty was, as opposed to trying to change them. And he really knew how to draw out like just the most elegant and beautiful parts of them, how to make their cheekbones really come out. He understood how to use highlighter. I mean, I remember talking about highlighter with him. I'd never even heard of highlighter. I didn't know what it was, didn't know how to use it. Long before there was contouring and any of that stuff, he really understood how to like get the high points of someone's face and really make them sing to camera. And, you know, he just has an incredible eye, and we always shared a really common perspective on beauty.
Cool. So then, and you left this job in 2017, and think, you know, everyone was thinking, what's she going to do next? What is she going to do next?
Me too.
You know, is she going to head up some big, is she going to go like super high fashion? Is she going to go to Paris? Is she going to, you know, go do couture? Is she going to start her own, you know, fashion line? What did you think you were going to do? What did you do in the months and years that followed?
I mean, the first month I sat on the couch, the first year, I would say, I sat on the couch. I don't think I realized how burnt and also really kind of sad I was. It was really hard leaving a place that I had called home. It was my family. You know, I'd been there for 27 years. I'd worked for like 20 plus years. The woman who was the head stylist had been there for 25 years. The head of men's had been there for 10 years. Head of women's, 15. Like, I knew these were my family. And I really was like, I really struggled. And I thought that people would call. I thought I would get some cool job. And like, that didn't really happen. I didn't get a lot of phone calls. You know, and I'm sure some people thought that I was locked up, which, you know, to a certain extent, I probably was. But what was really strange to me was that, you know, the industry was also shifting. If you look at the fashion industry today, what I was doing doesn't really exist. They didn't fill my job. They've totally taken a different approach. And I get that. I understand the world is changing and the world of fashion is changing so dramatically that, I mean, yes, I would have loved to have gone to Europe, and that was a conversation at one point, but I also have a kid and joint custody and there's just some real practical things that didn't allow for something like that. So yeah, I did a lot of, like, I have a really well-worn spot in my couch and I spent a lot of time there.
And eventually, clearly, because we're talking to you now, you decided to do your own thing. Can you tell us about Love Scene?
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of an accident, honestly. I mean, it was something I'd been thinking about, but never in a way that I thought there was really something viable there. And then I started doing research. Someone asked me to do some research on a beauty project. And I just started to like think about what was out there in the world. And as I started to think about it, I, you know, was realizing that like I was watching all these beauty videos because I was just doing some exploration. I was obsessed. Like, have you seen Huda Beauty? And those, I mean, these women transform their face. It's insane. And then I was looking, they all were putting on eyelashes. And then the more I started to look, the more I realized that the world of eyelashes was becoming more and more prevalent. And I remember that when I left J. Crew, the one thing that was coming up so frequently was women were coming in with eyelash extensions. But what I was realizing is, so these women who were J. Crew girls, if you look at most of the girls at J. Crew, they look very, very natural. Very few people wear makeup. I wore the most makeup out of anyone because I love makeup. But I think, you know, it was really interesting to see how eyelash extensions and eyelashes, there was kind of this big gap between eyelashes that were out there and eyelash extensions. And I was like, well, I can't wear eyelash extensions because I don't have eyelashes. So that's not for me. And I can't really wear the strip lashes because they're so dramatic. And I look a little, it just looked too, just not real, honestly. And so I started to think, well, if I'm looking for something like that and I want it, what way maybe someone else is. And also strip lashes are amazing, but all of them are pretty large. And then eyelash extensions, they're expensive. They take a long time and you have to find somebody really good to do it. You ever seen anybody who's not had a good eyelash extension?
Yes.
She's cowering right now.
I'm like, wow. Okay.
You're not complimenting the person's features. You're like, I like your lashes because they're just what you're seeing.
They arrive like 5 minutes before you do. I'm like, well, okay. I had a conversation with some people about this project. Then they happened to have some money and they were like, you are really cool. And I loved them immediately. And so we decided we put a business plan together in like literally a month and put a proposal together and then started. It just all happened it was very strange. It was one of the most fluid processes I've ever been through. I can't believe that it's happening.
That means maybe it's meant to be. Something you said made me think. I know you've talked about how you have hair loss from, it's genetic, correct?
Oh, I have bald spots. They were just, my hair never grew in. It wasn't like I lost it. It just never came in.
So you never had eyelashes?
I've literally like on this eye, I have probably like 7 and on this eye, I maybe have like 3 and I have no eyebrows. Like these are microbladed in, but you could see, I look a little bit like they've been singed off my face, but it's just because I don't have any.
Yeah. Yeah. So that must obviously have worked into this whole like idea.
Totally. Well, I think it's like, I'm sure you know how like if you have anything you're self-conscious of, you notice it in other people. Like if you don't have perfect teeth or skin or hair, all you do when you meet someone is look at their skin and their teeth and their hair. That's what it's always been that way for me. And I'm sure it's like anything you feel like you're deficient in, you notice in other people. So it's just, I'm super attuned to it. I pay attention. Like if someone has good eyelashes, I'm literally like, you know, looking at them and like up in their face, like, can I look at your eyelashes? And you know, somebody who has like gorgeous skin, I'm always like, can I touch it? Like I'm like enamored by the things that I don't have. And so, yeah, I just felt really, I paid very close attention to that whole world and the world of beauty in general. I'm fascinated by it.
That's funny. I always think of it as like the grass is always greener, but the way you explained it is actually much more real. Like I do that. The things where I feel like I am maybe lacking when I see another woman, that's the first thing I look at on her.
Yeah.
Whether it's like, a body thing, a face thing, a style thing.
Yeah, even a personality thing. Like when someone's really funny, or I'm like, God, I wish I was funnier. That person's really funny. Oh, sorry. My
last question. No, we get the explicit mark every week, and I don't know how. So we'll get one for this interview,
why.
Too.
I never understood that.
See, you're funny, Jenna. So you love scene. Like you said, it was a seamless process. So who are you thinking this is for? Like who will the customer be? And how's it different than, you explain how it's different than some of the lashes out there.
We're trying to show it that like, I think the world of beauty should be open to anyone. And I think showing the idea of strip lashes that have maybe been relegated to like very high vamp like looks and people who are maybe doing drag and people who are doing like full beats, like anyone who doesn't fall into that category, like I think there's no reason. Like I love wearing them. I'm not afraid to say that. I think they can be really beautiful if they're done right.
And it's interesting you're saying, you know, you love wearing them. I would never be like, oh, you know who loves a fake lash? Jenna Lyons. You know, like I would never think that. But like the way you wear them is really cool and you have a really cool style. So like, can you give me some tips? I'm saying me, you could tell like I'm very like interested in like how I'm going to wear them. So
I think like if you look at the imagery that we're putting together, like it's not like we have some that are just ends. So you could just have a little kick on the end and they're pretty different than what's out there currently in the market. So there's one that's called Levi and it's literally a really feathery, light, just little kick. So if you're like totally a beginner and not, and you want something just really delicate, it's just like a little pop on the end and they're great. There's also another one called Jack, and it's just a very feathery soft lash. Like, you don't need to wear makeup. Like, you could wear them with no makeup at all and just like Jen, I don't think, are you wearing eyeliner at all? It doesn't look like you are.
No, I ended up using black lash glue though, which I want to ask you about lash glue after you're done. But keep explaining.
We should talk about that.
I'm wearing the cape, everybody, by the way. Yeah. As in Cate Blanchett with the spelling.
Exactly. Yes. And I think that's like, you know, you don't have to wear makeup. There are designs so that you can go with like little to no makeup if you just want a lash, but you can also like amplify them. But you don't need to do anything. If you want to do a red lip and like have a really clean eye and you have lighter hair, so like, but you could also go a little dramatic. I mean, ironically, one of the best compliments we got was quite a few of the models when they were leaving. Most often, the girls, the first thing you want to do is take all the makeup off. They're like, get this off of me. And many of them were like, oh, I'm going out tonight. Can I take these? Can I just walk out like this? And we were like, of course, like, yes. And when they feel like they look beautiful, like, that's when I'm like, oh God, we actually have something here.
Jen, you had a question about lash glue.
Oh, yeah, because when I got a sample set, thank you for sending it in advance of this, and they don't come with lash glue. And I was curious, and of course, I'm a beauty journalist, so I had multiple options here at home. But what was the thinking on that? And can you use them with any lash glue?
Yeah, so a couple things. First of all, the amount of, one of the things that we've looked at and we've seen is that there are some people that actually ship with very small samples of glue that come in for like, and they'll go for like a few uses. The problem is that there's a couple of things. The glues have a tendency to dry out when they are not in a big enough container. The glue needs itself to keep it moist. Mm. And so when you actually put it in a very small container, it dries out very, very quickly. And so it's just a waste. And it also can be very frustrating. It has a tendency to get dry too quickly. And then those little tiny canisters and the brushes, they just fall apart. So that's not a great option. So what we didn't want to do was then ship them automatically with glue, because then we would be shipping you three times the amount of glue that you would need for that lash. And it's just not, it just was a waste. So we felt like it was better. Most people, you can get a lot more uses out of the glue than you could, like the lash, you can get 10 if you want, but you can get like 50 out of the glue if you're very sparing. So it just didn't feel like the right thing to ship them together. And on top of that, you can use any glue you want. Not everybody likes the same glue. Some people are partial. Some people like black glue. The white glue should dry clear, but some people just like darker glue. We're still working on like, is there something else out there that we can do in terms of just improving what's the options? And but Duo was really helpful, and they sold us their formaldehyde free and latex free glue, which is one of the things
that we used.
Great. Did we not send you glue?
No, but of course you assumed you were being sustainable, because I was very happy about that. I noticed the packaging.
We should have sent it to you, though. Yeah. I'm sorry that we didn't send it to you.
Oh my gosh, that's fine. And I love that there was instructions for recycling. Just pop out the plastic window and take off the ribbon, because I feel like a lot of brands are like, it's recyclable. And then you're like, how? So I liked that was on the package. Sorry, I don't mean to blow smoke up your ass.
No. And so that was a major, major part of the process. I mean, I remember walking into the factory in Indonesia, and I could not believe how much plastic
you went to
was
visit
there.
The factory.
I did. Well, my experience is making clothes, having had that experience, I know that you can't have an articulate conversation about how to manipulate something or change it if you don't know what you're talking about and you don't know who you're talking to. And I'm so happy I went. It's also, it makes somebody, especially when, listen, it's one thing to do it when you're a big brand. It's another thing to do it when you're a very small brand or just starting out, and you can say, hi, this is who I am. This is who you're making it for. This is how much I care. This is what I want to understand. How do you make it? I think I'm so happy I did, because I didn't understand there's two different types of lashes. There's knit lashes, which are basically, it's a thread, and then the lash is tied onto it, and then it gets cut to length. And that's one type. And then there's a tipped lash, which is basically where the pieces are laid down on a table and then a band is stuck over the top, but they're laid down like this way. And so they're a totally different process. Mm. And in putting them together, I had taken and cut apart tipped lashes and knitted lashes and put them together. And I was like, I want this and this. And they're like, you can't do that. I'm like, you have to do it. Just try. I know you can do it. Go ahead and do it. And they're like, no, we can't do that. I'm like, I don't understand. And then when I got to the factory, I was like, oh, okay.
So which are yours, knit or tipped?
They're both. We have both.
Depends on the style, I guess.
Yeah. So like Luca, Iris, and I believe Luca and Iris are definitely knitted. Levi and Noor, those are tipped.
I mean, I didn't even know there were two types of lashes.
Yours is knitted.
Okay. Interesting.
Nice for fall dress.
I didn't know either. That's why I went.
Did you just make a knits for fall joke, Jess?
I mean, oh God.
She's a mom now. She's got these puns. There's been so many mom
jokes.
They're
going to get worse. It's going to get worse. I'm telling you. It's really, there are moments where I was like, wow, that just came out of my mouth.
I'm embracing it.
Yeah. You can. Go ahead.
Let's see if we're still friends in 10 years, Jess.
No, oh my God.
We will be.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. So now I know about knit and tips, but so as did you, because you were a fashion designer, so you had to learn, but how is this different than designing for fashion? You're giving us a lot of the similarities, like you went to the factory, you met the people, you know, there's a pattern to cut, things like that. What was different for you?
I mean, there's some amazing benefits. I mean, I think the thing that I didn't realize until I left J.Crew was just like, you're kind of a hamster on a habit trail, like the pressure and the speed of making 13 catalogs a year, a new line and put new product and constantly remaking things and having and constant feedback about sales. And keep in mind, like constant feedback on sales on three different brands, multiple styles, men's, women's, kids, wedding, Madewell. It's like there was just so much information to maintain and try to stay on top of, not to mention, you know, that whole feeling of like, you know, just it has to be current and trying to think, and you're constantly thinking about something that is not going to be in the store for almost a year. It's just a really different process of feeling just so far out and so like just completely iterating all the time. It's very intense. And what's nice about this is like, it's so different. They're not seasonal. You can wear them any time of the year. It doesn't matter whether you're a size 0 or a size 14. Anybody can wear them. It doesn't matter whether you are, you know, 16 or 72, like you're welcome. And we can show that relatively easily. And it's so much different than fashion in that way, because it's just easier to connect with people and be able to share with them. It was fashion so hard, and it got harder and harder the more I got into it. So it's got a lot of really nice, just easy benefits. It's also like they're not perishable. Like they, you know, cashmere sweaters, you cannot leave on the shelf. Like they will literally, like over time, because they're wrapped in poly and that kind of stuff, like the yarn will decompose. Like you can't keep that for, especially if it's on a yarn spool, it will, because it's compressed, it will just actually go bad. And like, these don't, like their lashes, they don't actually, they're not going to go bad.
Yeah. And they're not, or
they're like Twinkies
and they're not natural animal fibers and they're vegan and right.
Yes. Yes. There's not, no, animals have their own pretty lashes. We didn't have to test on them. We didn't need to use them for anything.
Yeah. Also, I did not know that about cashmere sweaters. I'm intrigued.
I didn't know that either. I just remember we would have yarn and we were like, oh gosh, we have a year to use this yarn if we don't use it. When it's on the spool, it's compressed. And so it can actually, so that all the yarn that's on the inside, it can actually, if the, any moisture gets in, it can actually.
So they're like, Jenna, we need a new cardigan cut for spring 2022 yes, because we got to use up that pink merino wool.
Yep.
It's like bread.
That's not creative. She's shrugging at me.
That is, yeah, it happens. No, listen, it's part of running a business, but oh my God, it's like so nice. I feel very lucky that I can't believe I'm doing something that also is really lightweight. Like there's nothing worse than finding out that you need more outerwear and it has to be aired, and outerwear is, has a high duty rate and is really heavy to air. So like, that's a bummer. Like it eats out of your margin. So all these beautiful coats that you make, you have a nice margin. And then by the time you ship them and air them in, because you're trying to get more units or, you know, you want to get them in before the holiday. It's just...
Yeah, because I guess the volume of that business, it was such a huge business. And now you're like, you get to get back to the boutique nature of it all.
Was it exhausting?
Baby business.
Sounds like it was exhausting by the
end. It was exhausting. I don't think I realized how tired I was until I stopped working. And I realized how, like, I couldn't function for a little while. I was really... Not, it was a major, major come down, like major on personally, professionally, emotionally, and just also, you know, I had connected myself so deeply to the brand, intentionally and unintentionally. And I suffered when I separated. It was like being connected to a Siamese twin and someone just going, and all of a sudden you're like, where's my other half? I felt really, it was hard. It was really hard. Mm-hmm.
Speaking more broadly, when we talk about like, you know, just like the moment right now, everyone's doing like, you know, what's going to happen in fashion? How is fashion going to change? You know, the future of, you know, it is a huge period of change right now. That's undeniable. But when you look at fashion, you've been away from it for, you know, a few years. What do you think needs to change? What do you think, seems outdated in 2020?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I do think that we have gotten into this insane cycle of newness, and there's such a lack of respect for quality and things that have an ability to sustain and live. And it's just a really, it's part of it is just, you know, I remember really distinctly being a part of that, you know, things going on sale so quickly. So as soon as something goes on sale, what it does is it triggers the need for new product. And so this constant way, you know, interestingly enough, in Europe, they have a very strict sale structure. Mm-hmm. You cannot go on sale for a certain period of time after the item is launched in the store. And the reason being, it's to protect the customer so that you don't go into the store and you paid $40 for it and 3 weeks later you come in and now it's 22 and you feel like you've been scammed. So it's really to protect the customer, but it also protects the brands, because what it does is it helps them maintain a healthy margin for a longer period of time. This constant sales structure and finding things cheaper all the time, which of course everyone wants to do and I understand, but it deeply, deeply undermines the ability of a brand to deliver a quality product with any level of consistency. Who wants to pay $100 if they can pay $40? I understand that the problem is we're just undermining the quality. We're undermining all brands' ability to actually compete. And we're also bringing the water level down. You know, everything is starting to look the same. It's kind of shocking to me. Like when you see, I remember walking through a mall, and this was a while ago, and I realized I did not know what store I was standing in front of. And it was because I had walked by like a Banana Republic, an Ann Taylor, a J. Crew, a Anthro. Like, and I realized that so much of the product I was seeing was starting to become very similar.
And so I want to ask you about beauty products. You brought lipstick to J. Crew. You clearly a beauty girl. What do you personally love?
Not right now, but
no, but what are some of your personal favorites?
I mean, God. Oh, that list is long.
Oh, give us a couple.
Are we talking about makeup? Or are we talking about skincare?
Everything. The whole thing.
Oh, I mean, I'm a Biologie Recherche devotee for sure. Mm-hmm. I actually have been using their products for a really long time. Aida Bakaj was the person who introduced me to them, and I remember I used to see the Olsen twins in the lobby, and I was like, oh my God,
the Olsen 250. That's enough to convince me.
Did you ever talk to them?
Oh yeah. Oh, they're so nice. Both of them are so lovely.
They were nice.
Oh my God, so nice. They're so warm and friendly.
Do they shop at J. Crow?
I think they shop at this place called The Row.
No, they have the yeah.
That's something I have this. I'm obsessed with Arcona Brightening Gommage. I'm obsessed with Dior Air Flash because I'm so lazy. Have you guys used that
spray
stuff?
Foundation?
And I spray it right on my face.
Well, I mean, that's how it's meant to be used.
I think you're supposed to put it on a sponge.
I haven't used it in a while, but I remember that was good stuff. You know, this is the second Dior product we've heard about, like the kind of like a cult Dior product. Last week was a body cream. We interviewed someone who talked about a body cream from Dior that we have to have. And then I haven't heard about the Dior Flash.
P.S. I sprayed it right on my face too. I mean,
I don't think you're supposed to.
And I have very big eyebrows. I have opposite problem of you. And it would get in there and I'd be like, this is not a really great product.
Well, so, okay, that's a good point. I don't think, see, I don't have any eyebrows, so I don't have to worry about that.
So it might work even better for you as a spray.
For me, it's amazing. Also, because I wear glasses, so you kind of don't see that I wear, I usually get glasses that are big enough to, because so my like eyebrows frame, are also really uneven.
Yeah.
Well, and also it covers my eyebrows a little bit. So you kind of don't, like, when I take these off, you can really see that I don't have any eyebrows. But when I'm wearing this, you don't notice as much.
But also,
particularly when I have some of like my darker glasses.
I used Dior Flash, the foundation was a long time ago, but that's like a real cult product.
I bought it in like a complete moment of desperation when I had gone to LA for, actually for the SAG Awards, and they confiscated my makeup. And I got out there and I had nothing. And I was in a mall waiting, like this was in January. I was in a mall. I had literally 10 minutes in between stuff. And I ran in, I just tried it on in the store, and I couldn't believe how quickly it just kind of it can make you look a little, the thing I know, I will say, major important tip is that you have to use a wet sponge, and otherwise it just gets a little, you look flat, and that's not so great. But the wet sponge kind of helps give you highlights, and I'm not wearing any makeup right now, but, it does really help. I'm also really into Wonder Valley oil, body oil. I'm totally into it. The graphics are beautiful. Have you seen it?
I don't know Wonder Valley.
Okay. Wonder Valley body oil. I'm totally obsessed. Everyday body oil. I'm obsessed with body oil. Mm-hmm. Everyday oil, body oil. I'm trying to think of all my stuff that I have.
Any fragrance that's a favorite? We're both
perfect. I mean, I only wear one fragrance, and I've tried to change 3 times, and I can't because my son gets upset with me and says I don't smell the same anymore, which is, it's Creed Silver Mountain Water. I have worn it for literally 15 years.
It's a classic.
They should give me the company.
Any other favorites before we're going to do our lightning round with you, which is super fun.
I mean, I have so many favorites. I'm obsessed with, have you tried that clay, I'm not how you pronounce it, lip melting powder?
No. Okay. Jenna, you're schooling us.
Oh, okay. You
lip melting powder.
It's the weirdest, most amazing shit I've ever tried. I'm obsessed. I don't know how to. I would get up and get it, but I think I will undo my.
No, we will put a link on our blog and episode notes.
What is it? What is good? It's basically, it comes out like a powder. So it's like a, so it's in a little tube, and it comes out like a powder. But then when you put it on, it goes into like a really smooth, lip stuff. Mm. But what I find is that a lot of the matte lipsticks make my lips very dry.
Yeah.
And it can get, and this one doesn't. And then I just put a little bit of a Clinique, those chubby sticks over the top of it, just to give it a tiny bit of, it's like the best thing and you can put it on your eyes and on your cheeks if you want. It's like the weirdest stuff. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it's made out of, but it's the best stuff. And those Kaja heart cheek balm.
Oh, that thing. I actually do know. It looks like a little mochi.
I feel like I'm like 12. I'm like, this works for me.
I know. I don't think if I saw your makeup bag, I definitely wouldn't have picked that as one of the products that would be in there. But
I'm so into it.
I would have pictured like some Kosas and, you know.
I have Kosas. Yeah. I have Ilia. I have Kosas. Yeah, yeah. I mean, listen, you're asking me to pick that. I have so much. If you saw my makeup cabinet, you would be done. I have one full. I don't know if you guys can see, but can you see that over there?
Yes.
The makeup cabinet on the left. On this side,
or wait, this, okay.
On this side is filled. Wait, this side is filled with makeup, and this side is filled with beauty products.
This is where our audio format fails us.
I wish our
listeners could see this. It's big.
No,
it's silly.
I like your marble too. Okay, so we could be here all day, is what you're saying, but we won't do that to you. What I'm gonna do at the end of every podcast, we do this little speed round. So we've got some questions for you.
Oh,
no pressure.
No, it's cute. It's fun.
Okay. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What was the what's the first beauty or grooming product that you fell in love with?
I was in a play in seventh grade called Anything Goes, and I was given a Kohl eyeliner, and I was like, yeah, like I thought I was Cleopatra. Yes, by all means.
Kohl eyeliner. You went right for it. No lip smackers for you.
No, I didn't have any access to any of that stuff. My mom didn't wear any makeup, and we didn't buy any of that stuff. So it was literally like, she put it on her eyes, then she handed it to me, and I literally watched her like, what? And I put it on my eyes, and I was so excited. She was like, you should take that.
Okay. Who's the celebrity that you just know you'd be best friends with? Probably someone you haven't met would be a better answer. But of course, if there's someone out there that you're like dying to be best friends with.
Cate Blanchett.
Oh, okay. Is that who the lashes I'm wearing are named after?
Yes.
Oh, I like it. Okay. What's your favorite indulgent snack? And please be specific.
Grater's mocha chip ice cream.
I don't think we've had a non-ice cream answer for the past 8 interviews, Jess. Am I right about that? Everybody's an ice cream.
Ice cream is like the key to the meaning of life. I don't know if anybody's aware of that. I know that. People might not know that, but I've been really doing some real deep work with my shaman. And
Grater's is the answer.
We discussed it, yeah.
Okay, what's a song that pumps you up?
Outstanding by the Gap Band or Golden Lady by Stevie Wonder.
Lovely. Okay. And then last question, at the end of every podcast, we both raise a wand to something that we're like obsessed with at the moment, like a mascara wand. So we want to give you the opportunity to raise your own wand. What are you obsessed with at the moment? It could be product, movie, book, person, whatever.
There's so many things. That's such a hard one to pick. Right now, I think I have to pick one thing.
I mean,
so unfair.
Yes. I'm going to make it tough. Do an edit, Jenna. Okay. This is like a thing that fashion designers do, right?
Okay. That's really, really hard. Okay. I'm obsessed with Karen Lyons paintings.
Oh.
No relation to me.
Oh, okay.
Karen Lyons paintings. What are they like?
Karyn. Lyons, Lyons, but I'm not really a tourist. It's funny that her last name is mine.
What?
I'm obsessed.
I don't know that.
I have one in my living room. It's Lips, and it's so, if I pull it up, I've got your recording going.
No,
anyway, well, look at her Instagram. Her paintings are unbelievable. I think she's so, so talented, and they're also like affordable. I love buying art, but it's definitely, she's one of my favorites. I'm obsessed.
Oh, very cool. I'm going to check her out.
Okay. Well, this was fun.
Thank you, Jenna.
Thank you. Yeah. It was so fun. You guys are so easy. Get your lash on, babe.
I think I might start wearing fake lashes on the reg. I just got to get into a routine.
I want Jenna to be my like boss. I wish I had her as a boss, like growing up. I'm excited about her show too, like her HBO show.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what I pictured her as, but like, Jenna, let's hang. I'll wear your lashes.
I know. Stay tuned. I think
let's
this
be
might
friends.
Be the season of the lash.
Her hair's going gray. My hair's going gray. Come on.
All right. It's time to raise a wand. It's time to share our picks.
Yes.
What do you have?
I have a drunk elephant product.
I feel like you've been feeling DE a lot lately.
Well, no, I've only ever raised a wand once to their hair detangler. And yeah.
Okay, maybe.
Right?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm just like...
You know me. I am the contrarian. So if everybody likes it, I don't want to like it. But then sometimes I get won over. And here's why. So it's the end of the summer. I wore lots of sunscreen this summer, as I do all year round. Let's be honest. Whatever my Fitzpatrick skin type is, I don't burn. I brown. Even when I put on sunscreen, I get super brown. So I did get... I'm sorry, I got a tan because I did a lot of hiking. You know what? It's a pandemic. Don't judge me. It's fine. But here I am. It's come fall. And as my color is returning to its normal olive hue, I'm feeling a little lackluster. So I was popping a couple drops of the Drunk Elephant D-Bronzini into my face oil. Mm. But what it is like a bronzing liquid that is a shade that I truly think no matter what your skin tone is, it gives you this little bit of warmth. It's like a copper shade almost. So if you're fair, you like should barely even use a squirt of this. You're only going to need a little bit. And a full pump for me is even quite a lot. But I've been mixing it in with my regular face oils, which are always on a rotation. And I just love the way it gives you a little extra glow. And sure, if there's some active ingredients there that are making my skin better, fine. I haven't seen any like differences in that way. But I think a lot of these face bronzers look very fake and orangey, and this one doesn't. And you know what? I'm drunk. Fine. I'm drunk on the drunk. Whatever. I fell for it. It's a good one though.
Okay.
What are you raising
wand to? I might try that. I mean, I don't know how much my skin can handle. So...
Could like a quarter pump to start.
Okay. I've been waiting to tell you guys about this product since probably like a month and a half now, because it wasn't out until a week or two ago. It's the Garnier Green Labs. I guess this is like their new, it's like their new franchise. Green Labs Cannabis Pore Perfecting 3-in-1 Cleanse Plus Exfoliate Plus Mask. That's a lot of verbiage. But what I will tell you about this is just an amazing face wash. It says it's an exfoliator and a face mask. I'm not using it as like a substitute for my exfoliator. I'm not using it as a face mask. I'm just using it as a really nice facial cleanser. It's really creamy. It does have a clay-like feeling, but not so thick that you feel like you're using like, you know, clay in your face. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It has cannabis sativa seed oil, which feels like I'm guessing there's something kind of calming about that. It has niacinamide.
There's not, but it's a nice seed oil. It plays well with the fatty acids in your skin.
It's very nice. It has niacinamide in it.
Good ingredient.
Really, like, I just really look forward to using it at night. It doesn't remove like all your makeup, so don't rely on it for that. But I just feel like it's a great creamy cleanser. And I do feel like my skin looks softer. And I do feel like my pores are a little bit less noticeable after I use it. It's $10 on Ulta right now.
Sounds like it has a prestige feeling.
Yeah, it actually
to the cleanser.
Jen, that's an excellent critique. I felt like there was something like missing in my description about it. Like I wasn't telling you how great it was.
Yeah.
Yes. It has.
It's like you come to expect that texture and those benefits from like a $30 cleanser, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I feel like you're getting a really nice cleanser. And I've been using it in this little sample. Like they sent me just a little like lab sample of it. And I never really, I feel like when you get something in a lab sample, you really are like divorced from all of the like the things that can make you like it. Like, you know, I like the packaging or like, you know, it's cute, you know. I look forward to using it even in this little lab sample thing. And
Then it must be good.
Yeah, yeah. And there's other formulas, there's other stuff like there's like a pineapple one and a watermelon one in this new franchise. I'm not as jazzed about those, but I think it's because this texture feels so premium to Jen's point. And I also do like that this brand is very committed to like, you know, it's vegan messaging. It's something that is something that I think it's very cool that they're really leading with that. So that's it. And $10, not bad.
Can't beat it. Great one.
Thank you.
All right, guys. We'll see you on Tuesday. Or we'll hear you on Tuesday. Or you'll hear us on Tuesday. How about that?
We hope you enjoyed the show. It's your reviews and feedback that help us make the podcast even better. Head over to iTunes to rate and review us or email your thoughts to info@fatmascara.com. We also want to answer your beauty questions and hear what products you love. To share a Raise a Wand product review or to ask a beauty question, email us at info@fatmascara. If you send it as a voice memo file, we can even share your voice on the podcast. You can also do that by leaving us a voice message. Our phone number in the United States is 646-481-8182. Thanks so much for listening.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.